space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise.
Modi, I might be confusing a few different things, but have you ever danced with a Gorn in the pale moonlight? I guess would be the question.
Yeah, a very, very slow moving, purposeful dance we did.
It would have to be. Yeah, I think that you'd have to lead, or because if he was leading, it would take a very long time to get there. But
yeah,
welcome to the show. Welcome back. How are you?
I'm great.
We are going to be talking about Arena. The classic, maybe iconic would be the way to describe this episode. It was teleplay goes to Gene L. Kuhn. Story credit goes to Frederick Brown, and it was directed by Joseph Pevney. It's Arena that we're going to be talking about, the Gorn fight, the incredibly iconic Gorn fight, and the episode that kind of surrounds that thing. So I'm going to play an audio clip. Me and Modi are going to come back right after this.
This is Captain James Kirk of the Starship Enterprise. Whoever finds this, please get it to Starfleet Command. I'm engaged in personal combat with a creature apparently called a Gorn.
He's immensely strong. Already he has withstood attacks from me that would have killed a human being. Fortunately, though strong, he's not agile. The agility and, I hope, the cleverness is mine.
The Metrones, the creatures that sent us both here, said that the surface of the planet provides the raw material to construct weapons. There's very little here, scrub brush, rocks, an abundance of mineral deposits, but no weapons in the conventional sense. Still, I need to find one. Barehanded against the Gorn, I have no chance.
I don't know about you, but I had the way I went into watching this episode was I was not sure if the episode is only remembered because of the fight scenes that go on in it. did you have any sort of anything going into it that you thought about, or did it surprise you in any way?
I was just trying to think of like the number of places I've seen, like anytime you want to have a person watching Star Trek, it's always this scene.
Yes.
Like in a movie or anything else. This is the one you reference, and this is what you put on the TV in the background. It's just the picture of the Gorn taking the giant swipe and like scattered ducking lazily below it is just burned into my mind every time I see that thing.
It's like Shatner's like playing in the tree for a little bit. They're trying to get the two sticks out, and then they do that little move. And my favorite thing is afterwards, what the hell is the line? He says, what the hell? I can't find the thing. Oh, here it is. He says, Kirk's talking to himself, and he says he's immensely strong. Already he has withstood attacks from me that would have killed a human being.
He did throw a rock at him pretty hard.
He did. That was. We'll get to the fight scene here. So I guess I'll lead off by, do you think that the episode in general holds up, or do people only know this episode because they think that the fight scene is sort of ridiculous by modern standards?
Oh boy, I don't know if it does. I don't know if this episode holds up. It is the right kind of campy that it's going to be forever beloved. I don't think it's an excellent episode. I think it's one you have to see. I think it's an important episode to watch just because of the cultural reference and the cultural touchstone of it. But I don't think it's a very necessarily good episode.
I think that when I started watching it, the first 10 minutes, I thought I was watching the wrong episode. And I was,
like, when did they come here? When's the Gorn get here? I know he's hitting here someplace.
Yes, it's weird watching it. I think it works. So I'm not saying it's like a bad sort of breakdown of how they sort of sketched out the narrative of it, but it's much different than you'd expect when you're going into it thinking that this is the Gorn episode.
It's true. Yeah.
I think that I sort of like this one, although I like it more because of what it's trying to say. I think I just like how clean the sort of theme and story are in it. And I don't know that the story itself really holds up over 50 minutes or that it even needs to be 50 minutes. I really like the idea of Kirk being enraged in a vendetta. And he goes,
that was interesting.
He goes after this alien captain, and then they meet another godlike being race who says, you know what, you two are so violent, you might as well fight each other. And then he sort of comes along to reveal that, you know, maybe killing each other isn't the right way. And I think that story is really good. I really like the Kirk on a vendetta. And I also really liked the fact that the Metrons kind of do something clever here. The Metrons are the aliens that beam them both onto the same planet. They kind of make it an interesting story where it's easy to hate people until you're like in a personal relationship with them is kind of that's not really what the episode's about, but I kind of took that as a way that they were talking. Like, it's easy to chase after something you don't know and want to kill them, but when you're actually face to face with them, it's a little bit harder to actually pull the trigger. And I thought that was kind of an interesting take on the thing. What would you think about the story in general here?
Yeah, I agree. I think that's kind of the theme of what they were going for, when you have to like take the combat into your own hands. When it's an idea of this menace that you're chasing down and hunting down, and then you come face to face with it and are forced to kill it with your bare hands, he loses the taste for it at the end. And I think that's interesting. I kind of wish the Gorn would have just like grabbed the knife and tried to stab Kirk after that. Would have been a fitting end.
I thought the Gorn was actually... because they do this thing sort of halfway through it where they flip it and they're like, oh, we were invading the Gorn territory. But they still play the Gorn as a very violent creature.
Yeah. So, yeah, they don't build up the empathy a whole lot for them at all.
Right, yeah. So I think that kind of backfires on them a little bit. But I think that narratively, the other thing that's weird is that there were a couple of TNG episodes that had this problem too, where when one character is isolated and it's a story about them, the show feels the need to show us what's happening on the Enterprise, even if nothing is happening on the Enterprise.
And that's true. There's a couple of cutaway scenes that were just totally pointless.
They end this one by they kind of have the Spock go like, I wish I could help, I can't do anything. And then they're just like, you know what, fuck it, we'll just show them watching the episode on the view screen.
That was ridiculous. How did they get that angle on that? I don't understand.
The camera's just all over this thing. That was a little bit silly, I thought. But I don't know how else you get around that, because the whole point of the episode is that they can't help Kirk.
Right. Yeah, but like you can't... there's no good way of representing that on the ship without, I guess, doing what they're doing and watching the closed-circuit camera of the flight.
Right, yeah. I mean, they talk to the Metrons for 2 minutes, you know, and the Metrons are like, you know what, it doesn't really matter here. You can watch them and all that stuff. There's just no... There's really... It reminded me of the Royale from TNG, where the people on the ship really can't do anything to help these people. Mm-hmm. So it's just them sort of checking in every once in a while about what's going on. And yeah, it's a little bit strange. I'm starting to, the show's really starting to feel like TOS at this point. This is the 20th episode that they made. And like the fighting is very TOS at this point. This is the first red shirt that we've seen killed. We haven't watched the episodes. Yeah, but this is the first time it's actually been someone in a red shirt. Did you notice anything that you thought was particularly TOS-y about this, particularly early on? I have a couple more things. I'm just wondering if you had any idea.
Well, they killed off the red shirt on camera, but they also killed off another guy off camera.
Yes.
So, like, it's like, oh, that guy died. Like, okay, you could have just, you know, brought him back or whatever. I mean, I guess he didn't want us to pay for an extra, I guess.
And I was reading about this.
He was a half-day extra, yeah.
Those extras actually come back again and are red-shirted again. So I don't know that was like a running thing for an actor to do, but they get killed.
Oh, that'd be fantastic if they're like clones or something like that. The secret of the Enterprise, that they're cloning red shirts.
They might as well. They don't really even stand a chance. Kirk is just like, hey, go look and tell us where they are. And the guy runs off and gets disrupted, I guess, immediately.
Yeah. He gets totally vaporized, yeah.
Yes, I guess that's disruptors. They mentioned something
they're
worse than phasers. And then the guy gets shot with it. He disappears. In the original version of the episode, you never actually see the Gorn ship, which you see very distantly in the remake version that I watched on the view screen. It continues the TOS thing of you'd never see the other ships when they're fighting each other. They just didn't really have the budget or the post-production type stuff to do that. So you don't really know what's going on the ship. It was another thing of TNG. It's just when Kirk's on the planet, he tells Sulu to get the Enterprise out of there to save the ship, which is always a very high priority of the captain's.
It's always save my ship, though.
Yes,
I don't know. It's a weird, like, just slight turn on the idea all the time, but it's always like, get my ship out of here. And it's always his ship, and I appreciate it, but it's just kind of interesting that he phrases it that way.
I feel Picard would kind of say, get the crew out of there.
Get the crew out, or save the ship, or save our ship, or something like that. Where it's Kirk's ship in this case. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And nobody gets to touch the seat except me.
So what do you what was your big problem? You claimed that you didn't really care for this one. Was there any particular reason?
No, I don't. I mean, actually, really, it was kind of an exciting episode. I mean, the combat, the long drawn out combat was pretty interesting. So I guess it's not that bad. It's just been so ingrained into popular culture now that it's not. I can't like enjoy it the same way anymore.
Right. Maybe. Yeah. You don't get inside. You don't get excited by it. I was a little bit surprised by, based on how little happens in it, it kind of held my attention better than a lot of episodes have so far. It's kind of got this silly thing. Like the idea is so simple. Like, why, when Kirk and the Gorn get passed down, why is Kirk recording logs? Like in the terms of the TV show, he's explaining to the audience what he's doing,
right?
Because they can't have him talking to himself. But why does he have that recorder, and why can the Gorn listen to it, and did the aliens give them to them?
It seems that way. It seems that he's making a log in case anybody finds this, is what he says at some point. But yeah, the Gorn has a similar device with him. And it seems like Kirk, it's letting the Gorn listen to what Kirk is saying, and it might be translating for him too. So
that makes sense.
The Metatrons gave them these things so that they could communicate with each other. Actually,
I think
they could work themselves out. Then
I think you're ringing a bell. I think that they do say something about that so that they can understand each other. That makes sense. I don't know why Kirk thinks that it's a recording log.
He's just talking into this microphone. Yeah,
because I was laughing the. One thing that TOS has actually done, and this episode gets around it, is that they do something different than what TNG did with the captain's logs, where they will record a log in a circumstance that doesn't make a lot of sense. Like when Kirk gets beamed down to the Gorn, it opens from the commercial break, and he's saying, "I am trapped on a planet with this creature." And it's like, why? How is he able to record that?
Exactly, yeah. It's always like a weird, like, past present tense kind of thing.
Yes.
It's happened in multiple episodes too. I mean, it happens all the time, and they do the captain's log thing at every commercial break, I think.
Yes.
Just so like they can catch the audience back up, because that's how TV works back here in the 60s here. But it's just it's a weird, I just noticed in the very first episode we watched, actually, I noticed that it was a weird, like, he's speaking about the events
in present
that
tense.
Are presently happening in the past tense kind of thing.
Yes,
so like it's really strange, and I don't know exactly. So the supposition then is that we're hearing this recording that he recorded after the events. Like he's relaying a story to the recorder then that they're playing a snippet of.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem like he knows what's going to happen when he records the log. Exactly. So I don't quite know exactly what. Sometimes he does, though. Sometimes he's coming from like an omniscient perspective, but sometimes he's not. It's just, they're not consistent at all with it.
No, they're not consistent. I think they get much better with that at TNG. But I guess me and Clay talked about it in the last episode. I think that the captain's log device is kind of ingenious as a narrative thing.
I mean, it's a way to get around the whole, come back from a commercial break and say, "Oh, you just said this?"
Yes.
Kind of thing. It's a good way of catching the audience up when they had to go take a pee break.
Especially on a show that every week is a different. It's like you know you have to know you're on a new planet with a new problem and you're meeting this person. It's a really elegant way to get a lot of information across in a way that gets you right on page one with everybody. Narratively, I don't really think there's much else going. Oh, I was kind of laughing that the arena, quote unquote, whatever planet that they end up on, is it basically reminded me of something like Minecraft, where it's just like he's walking around and he finds like a pile of sulfur and he's like, "Oh, I'll pick this up."
All the resources that you need to kill each other are here.
Are just in little good, piles. Good to know. It's not like you have to like harvest a plant or anything. It's just like here's a little pile of this shit.
You don't even have to build a furnace and smelt anything. It's perfect.
And it's just it's weird because there was a tension to the Gorn chasing him at the same time that there's absolutely no tension because the thing just walks around very slowly. And
and can't find him. Like, has no idea where he is most of the time.
Yes, yeah. And the Gorn just stands out in the open, like, whittling some...
He is setting traps, though. He set that one rope trap with rocks down on him.
Yes, he did. He
at one point, so...
He's setting traps. That actually worked. Yeah, that was actually a pretty good thing. The vine trap, which is preceded, I think, by Kirk pushing a big rock off, right? On him?
Yes. Yeah, it's like it's two big rock crushes in a short span of the episode, yeah.
There's a lot of rock-on-rock action, I guess, around here. I guess we can talk about the... I guess just talk about the fight scene, because the fight scene is iconic, and I don't know if there's anything else. Is there anything else around the earlier parts of the later parts of the episode you wanted to talk about in terms of story?
Nah, that's boring. I don't understand structurally how they... maybe I missed something. Like, how did they get the message and then show up a day late and have the message? Like, it seemed like they were communicating with each other back and forth, and then the Enterprise crew shows up there and everyone's dead.
Was that a Gorn?
And they're like, it's been a full day since you've been here.
Was that a Gorn trap? Or why did they do that?
How did they do that? How did they interpret the voices? Like, did they fake the voices somehow and make them say whatever? Or it sounds like they have arrived a day after the attack, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that, you were supposed to be here a day ago, is what the one dying guy says. Which also, that dying guy is terrible. Like, the actor's is terrible. With the weird caked on makeup on his face, just looks really bad. And then all of his lines are all these melodramatic things that are just totally not believable.
Yeah,
why did they do this to us? Why?
He was definitely working his 5 minutes of screen time.
He's chewing as much as he can, yeah.
This is all I have. I just have to do this. He was actually pretty terrible. I don't really know why that beacon was going off, unless the Gorn were trying to lure them there, but that doesn't make sense.
I think that's the plan. Like, but then again, why wouldn't you just go? Why would you bring more people back? I guess maybe you want to stop the search party from going after them or stop them from recolonizing or something like that. But I just don't know why they went to this elaborate hoax to bring them down there.
Right.
And they said, bring all your tactical crew. So so the Gorn must have been creating that message, because they're like, bring all your tactical crew. So they somehow got the captain's voice recorded saying, bring all your tactical crew.
Right.
Or they have some type of voice faking thing, which doesn't seem like their style.
To bring them down to kill all the tactical people, but then the ship doesn't attack the Enterprise or anything like that. That just runs away.
Yeah, that is
strange. And we get the only thing sort of positives we get out, there's a lot of stunt work in that episode. And then the grenade launcher, the Star Trek grenade launcher.
I just love that they're like, we're too close for this. And it paid off, I suppose. It was pretty good.
Too close to missiles switching to guns, I think. Yeah, stuff like that. But yeah, it's the, I guess we can just talk about the fight scene, which is sort of the iconic sort of thing. The Gorn is ridiculous, and the fighting's ridiculous, and I don't know if they realized it was ridiculous back then. Like, is there a way that you can look at this and be like, this is actually very, very good?
I mean, okay, I was just thinking, compared to Doctor Who or something else concurrent with this, and it doesn't look that bad compared to that kind of stuff, but you could have done any kind of creature for these battle scenes. You chose this gigantic, goofy, foam masked guy that doesn't, it just doesn't look very good.
Why?
And I don't know if they thought it did or thought it'd be terrifying, but they had to have known that this is not going to turn out that well.
Why does it have to be a reptile thing in the first place? Why can't it just be a person?
Why don't you make it a primitive human? Like, why don't you make it a primitive, I don't know, something, do what TNG does and just grab a person and throw some extra stuff on their face.
Right.
That's all you got to do. They figured it out later.
You can still get away you can still get away with the super strength, because that is irrelevant. Like, you can just do that.
Who cares?
And it's not like, it's not like he can't talk, because they have their little translator things that they can talk to mm-hmm. each other. So it's like, it's not like he's supposed to be super alien or anything. Yeah, it's just, and he's wearing like a Flintstone style outfit with, yeah. with little gloves and everything like that. And the Gorn, it's weird to me how much time the fight takes up, and also how little time really that goes on, because it's basically half the episode, I guess. It's the second
with
half.
With almost nothing happening.
Yeah, really just yeah. Kirk running around and this thing sort of slowly chasing him, and then Kirk doubling back over on
talking to himself then.
And then he, obviously we haven't talked about Kirk, uses all the sort of shit that's laying around on the planet. He makes a bazooka that fires diamonds at the Gorn.
Okay, so the Metron said that everything you need to kill each other is on the planet. They basically, like, made this one weapon that he could have made. Like, if he didn't know the formula for gunpowder, yeah. like, he couldn't have solved this problem. Well, because that's the only thing they gave him. Unless they're like, oh, we meant, you know, if you walked 50 yards over that way, you'd find a phaser sitting on the ground.
Well, I mean, if the Gorn had connected with his swinging stick, you know, you could argue that that's kind of a weapon. Like the rocks, I guess, are their weapons. Like,
I guess that's true. They just, but I mean, really, they had to have known that all the rocks and everything like that couldn't let Kirk kill the Gorn,
right?
Because the Gorn was kind of invincible when he threw a gigantic rock at him.
The I agree with that. It's a very limited. There's like a ton of low tech stuff, and then there's just one sort of semi high tech solution that you can actually use.
It's not the open world sandbox that I want it to be for a game. You know?
There's no GTA story. You can just go in and buy something. The original script actually called for the aliens were going to go back on their word and were going to kill the winner, because they would say that they were too violent and too much of a threat.
That's interesting.
Would you think you would have preferred that?
It doesn't pay off, I feel like. Because then, I mean, the only way it wraps up is to have Kirk realize that, oh, we're not so different, you and I.
Right.
At the end. So it doesn't pay off then. You can't actually get that ending, because either you have Kirk die, and then it doesn't kill the crew, but it kills the Gorn and their crew,
yep.
which doesn't pay off. Or you have Kirk win, and they kill Kirk and the Enterprise crew, and the Gorn go free, which then we can follow the adventures of the Gorn in the following episodes. So that ending can never pay off, basically.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit tougher. It's I think that it's like emotionally or maybe like thoughtfully more satisfying than it could be.
You have to foreshadow that somehow. You have to be like, maybe they tell the crew that if Kirk wins, we're going to kill you, kind of thing. Like, after the fact. Like, we lied, and we're doing it the opposite way around. And so they're rooting on the planet for him to lose then? I don't understand exactly where the drama comes in from that revelation, except for at the very end.
Right. You know? That actually might that might give the crew something to do. You know, if the crew knew it, then they had to contact Kirk.
Communicate with Kirk somehow. Yeah,
yeah. And
but then it doesn't give him a good out then, because he doesn't have the personal growth and change factor of he's realized to appreciate other people that have killed humans. he doesn't learn to forgive and love once again.
Do you find
he doesn't have that growth if they warn him that you have to grow, you have to accept that they do what they do, and you have to accept that, and it doesn't allow him to have any agency. Then
do you find Kirk's story to be satisfying? Like, does it make sense how he comes to this conclusion at the end? I think that the narrative overall is satisfying.
He was so just bloodthirsty for revenge earlier in the episode that I get him saying I don't want to kill this person at the end. But they take a leap in that the Enterprise crew figured out that these guys attacked us because we invaded their area. But Kirk doesn't know that.
Right. Yep.
And he does kind of reference that, though, while he's on the planet. He says something like, "We probably invaded them." And he's like, "Oh, no, that's what happened, buddy. How'd you guess that?" Because they never found a way to communicate that to Kirk.
I think the Gorn says it. Right?
I think when
the Gorn is talking, I think because that's how the Enterprise learns it as well, because they're all listening to what the Gorn is talking about. So he knows.
Okay. I thought they were listening to, like, the ship, not the, okay. I understand now.
So he knows that, but I think I still agree with you that I don't feel like Kirk Kirk doesn't have enough opportunity to really fill us in on like his thought process is how it's going. And I almost feel like it's more cliche, but I almost would have appreciated Kirk not killing him because he's wounded. Like, it's that kind of a story where it's like, oh, this guy's down. I don't kill someone who's like an unarmed person who's unable to protect themselves. They don't go right there. Instead, it relies on Kirk feeling empathy for a race that I'm not really sure needs that amount of empathy, because their actions are pretty violent and
even if they're saying we invaded their place by settling on this planet that belongs to them, they still killed the people there to defend their territory, which doesn't seem like a very, you know, enlightened perspective.
Right, just knock on the door and say, hey, do you guys know?
Hey guys, you guys got to take off. This is our place. This is kind of like our sacred burial ground. You kind of put your bathroom on it. So, you know, it's kind of an awkward situation for us.
Very, very awkward. Very awkward. Yeah. Arena. Did you have anything else you wanted to talk about this one, or you think you got everything covered?
No, I think we can move on to conclusions.
I think that's a good idea. So I'm going to play an audio clip. Me and Modi are going to come back with our final thoughts and ratings for the iconic Arena.
You seem more like a boy.
I am approximately 1,500 of your Earth years old. You surprise me, Captain.
How?
By sparing your helpless enemy, who surely would have destroyed you. You demonstrated the advanced trait of mercy. Something we hardly expected. We feel that there may be hope for your kind. Therefore, you will not be destroyed. It would not be civilized.
What happened to the Gorn?
I sent him back to his ship. If you like, I shall destroy him for you.
No, that won't be necessary. We can talk. Maybe reach an agreement.
Very good, Captain. There is hope for you. Perhaps in several thousand years, your people and mine shall meet to reach an agreement. You are still half savage, but there is hope. We will contact you when we are ready.
An interesting episode. I like this one. I definitely understand what you were saying about how it's like bigger in the sort of consciousness of the sort of the culture and things like that. Although I think it holds up kind of as an episode. What are you going to give this one?
I will give it a 4 because it is such a cultural touchstone that you need to watch this. You need to watch this episode to understand Star Trek, I think, to understand what people talk about when they talk about anything. I mean, you say the Gorn, and anyone who knows anything knows what you're talking about. So yeah, you need this episode. You need this episode to be watched and understood, I think.
And it's weird that they never come back, yet they're so iconic. Name.
It never comes up again. This is the only point that it comes up at all, and it still sticks. It still resonates with everyone. So
how come it's not a 5 for you? I guess.
That's a good point. I mean, I guess.
Not that my rating is a 5, but
no. I mean, like I said, there is a lot of empty space in this episode, I'll say.
Yeah, there is.
The fights are exciting, but the cat and mouse isn't. And the Enterprise crew isn't exciting whatsoever. And so it could be a better episode had they done something else to keep us going during those downtimes. It didn't need to be as long as it was.
No, it was the problem.
So
I'm going to give it a 4 as well, and I'll agree that I think that it's like super iconic and pretty. It held my attention. I just don't think that the story for what's going on the planet is not good enough, and even like the action is not like sort of written well enough where it would keep you on your seat or like on the edge of your seat for the entire time. The Enterprise crew doesn't have anything to do, and I wish that the theme of what the sort of the story overall, that narrative of like Kirk out for vengeance and then learning that this is not the way to go. If they had fleshed that out a little bit with all of the aliens and everybody involved, I think it would have been a 5. I think that's like classic Star Trek. They don't really
do it.
Yeah,
that could be good. Yeah.
All right. That's it. We both give it a 4. It's a pretty decent episode, I think.
It is.
Very
it's
important.
Not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. Anytime Kirk battles an alien captain, you get some double hammer fist chop action. You know
that's coming. Yeah, exactly.
Guys, thank you very much for listening. If you're on YouTube, like and a comment's appreciated. If you're on iTunes, a rating or review helps. Any podcatcher that you listen to the show on, a rating would be helpful there. You can go to facebook.com/thepenskypodcast, patreon.com/thepenskypodcast. And that's about it. If you go to Patreon and give a couple dollars, you get extra content. You get like movie discussions that we do, movie podcasts. We just did Total Recall and RoboCop that came out, continuing the Paul Verhoeven thing. Otherwise, yeah, that's it for Arena. We're going to be moving on soon. I forget what the episode after this is. It's probably like Alternative Factor or something. But anyway, Modi, thank you very much for coming on.
No problem.
Guys, check out Modi's YouTube channel. There'll be a link to it. And other than that, I think that's it. I think we're done talking about Arena. And if I were a Gorn, I would not kill you on a desert planet, Modi.
Oh, thanks. It's too sweet. I didn't get you anything, but...
Guys...
I might... If I have to, I will. So, take that for what's worth. I'm just going to win.
Just give me a pile of yellow sulfur and we'll call it a day.
Sure.
See ya.